Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, the podcast dedicated to building awareness, understanding, and strategies to help those with dyslexia. I'm your host, Lisa Parnello, dyslexia therapist and founder of Parnello Education Services. Join me as we dive into today's episode of Dyslexia Devoted. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 93 of Dyslexia Devoted. And today we are talking about making the child part of the learning team. This episode was inspired by my chat with Kelly from Handwriting Solutions that we did a Instagram Live last week. And we had a really great talk because I completely nerd out with people with similar professions to mine because often I'm in my own little bubble. And it's just so nice to talk to like-minded people who really understand and really get it. So Kelly and I had a really great chat last week. So if you don't follow me already on social media, I'll be really honest. A lot of times I don't post very much on the social media for my business pages, purely because it's me, myself, and I running an entire business of dyslexia therapy, online courses, podcasts, and there's only so many hours in a day. And I've found a lot of times when I try to post something on social media, only maybe like two of you will ever see it anyway. And I really just plain have to prioritize my time. But it is a fabulous place when we do collaborations or I get interviewed by somebody. Those always end up on my social media. So you will once in a while get fantastic nuggets of videos and interviews that are either live podcasts that we've done or sometimes recorded ones that we've done and have gotten posted on there later. So feel free to go check out the Parnello Education Instagram or Facebook page, and you will get to see the full interview with Kelly that inspired this week's episode. Behind the scenes, I have been doing a lot of workshops and things like that. So there's the newest one, which is the Writing Booster Workshop that I know several of you guys have already purchased. If anybody's interested in the Writing Booster Workshop, that one is available over on my website at parnelloeducation.com/courses, or I'll link it here in the show notes as well. And then also I've been busy training teachers and, you know, I got to go to the beach one of the days and pop by the ocean on my way back to my office after getting to train a bunch of teachers. So it's been pretty busy behind the scenes. So by the time the weekend comes, I just could not bring myself to do more work. So this podcast is getting recorded and edited a little later in the week than normal, but hey, you still get an episode this week, so no complaining. Someday I will get to the point where I will pre-record episodes. Okay, no, I won't. Let's be really honest. Okay, time for the juiciness of this week's episode. It is so important to include kids as part of the team. And it's one of those things that there's all sorts of different ways that you can do this. Some places, especially around here in the middle schools locally, a lot of times kids are included in the parent-teacher conferences, and it's really getting them to be part of the team, and it actually holds them very accountable to their actions. I have a love-hate relationship with it because I hate saying things that will make children feel bad about themselves, and so sometimes you have to word things a lot more delicately when the child is in the room than if you were just talking to the parent and you could speak a little bit more freely. But at the same time, I really appreciate the idea that the kid needs to be part of the process. They need to be part of the goals, and they need to be responsible for their actions in order to be successful in life. Some of the ways that I do that are, within my own office, making kids part of the goals. And this is what was inspired by my chat with Kelly this week, is so often we make our goals for the kids and the parents know about it and the teachers know about it. The student is nowhere near the goal process or knowing what they're working toward. And that is the one thing I don't like. So one of the biggest things is that I always make sure the kids know what their goal is. They know what they're working toward. I've talked about it before in recent weeks, and the kids know, what is the skill that I want you to finish before the end of the school year? Or this summer, you are responsible for reading your summer reading list without me because you're going to take a break from tutoring for the summer. So what do you need to learn between now and summer break in order for you to be able to read those books without help? And okay, these are the skills that you're weak at right now, but we're going to make them super strong so that you don't need me this summer when you get busy on your summer reading homework. The other thing I like to do to make students part of the learning process is also to show them their growth. And this is actually my favoriteest thing in the world to do. Because so often, both us as adults and kids don't see just how far we've come until somebody puts it right in front of them. Last week, I had gone through some financial goals for myself of what was I going to try to accomplish last year in 2023. And then I looked at it again in the same month, but in 2024, and looked at how far I've come. And I was shocked at how much more I had done than what my goal actually was. As a small business owner, the idea of how much money you come in is not consistent. And knowing you don't get sick days and knowing how expensive your health insurance is and things like that, everything just feels very expensive all the time. But when I sat down and I looked at it, I saw just how much I had accomplished, how many of those goals I had written down, I had not only achieved, but surpassed beyond my dreams of the time that I wrote those goals down. So when I did that, it also made me think about how this is a time that I need to start showing the kids how much progress they have made. There's one of my kiddos who I could not possibly be more proud of, who's gone through the entire reading system that I've been teaching them. And we did it in 2 years. And it came from a lot of dedication from their parents, and they did way more hours with me than most kids do in 2 years, and boy, did it pay off. It was so powerful to see this child go from the 7th percentile in below in everything to the 65th percentile and up in everything in just 2 years. To go from being so low and so far behind to being average or above average in every area in just 2 years was huge. And then also to be able to show the child their spelling sheets, because every time I teach a child to read something, I also teach them to spell. So I love saving their writing pages of their first session or two with me and then showing it to them over time and showing them, look at that first day. You couldn't even spell the word chat. It's a really simple 3-sound word and they couldn't even spell it correctly. And now here you are spelling words like ambitious correctly. Kids don't have any sense of time. You know, like talking to them about when Christmas is, you know, seems like a million years away, or like they cannot possibly fathom what could happen in 2 years, because for some of them, 2 years is like a quarter of their life already. So if we can show them what they've accomplished in the time that they've done something, that is pretty powerful motivation to keep going to learn the next thing. To be able to show them, look, you couldn't do this a year ago, and look how great you're doing now. And being able to show them how powerful they are because of their hard work and determination. So many times kids with learning differences feel like a failure because they're comparing themselves to everybody else. So if we can switch that into comparing themselves to themselves and seeing what you could do now is so much better than what you could do 6 months ago. And making them very aware that all this hard work is actually turning into something pretty fantastic. That is what's going to get them to grow farther and farther in life. Is when they see their own successes and that builds into more successes. That's actually one of the things I really like about the reading program that I do is the kids have this little like coloring chart that every time they come to me, they read a list of words with a particular pattern that they're learning, and then they get to color all the way to the top when they do really well at something. And then they can actively see when we move on to the next book because it's a new color. They're like, ooh, I get to move from the red book to the orange book. So they can actually see those little milestones of success. And if there's any way that we can create milestones for the kids to see their success, that is always a really big win. When I was teaching in Arizona many years ago, did you know I used to teach in the desert? Boy, those 115 degree days are not missed. I got permission to paint one wall of my room baby blue, which blue is my favorite color, you know, just in case you're wondering. I put clouds up in the sky because the blue obviously made it look like a sky. And then the kids had these little airplanes. And they had these little clouds with numbers on them. And each kid had a goal of where their little airplane was supposed to land. So I made it very clear to all the kids that they don't actually all need to hit the same number. I made every kid know what their goal was. So they had like a little like star or something. I don't remember what I put. Maybe it was a hot air balloon. I don't know. I put something that made sense to go with the sky on the clouds so they knew where their goal was to be. And then we celebrated every time one of the students in the class hit their goal. And so it was not a competition against each other. I made sure all the kids knew that we each need different things. And so each of you have a different goal because you're not always starting in the same place. And helping kids see that we're not all in the same place all the time, and that's okay. We're just trying to make progress from where we are now to where we are going, helping the kids see we are not actually in the same starting point all the time. And it would not make sense for me to make the kid who's reading 0 words a minute read 55 words a minute next month. That wouldn't make sense. We need to make sure the kids know that each of us have certain things we are really great at and certain things that are really challenging for us. I tell them there's definitely a reason that I am not an art or a music teacher. I cannot do rhythm to save my darn life. I remember when they had me do flute lessons and they made me tap my foot, and they got mad at me every time I didn't tap my foot. And I had no connection between why on earth I was tapping my foot and playing the flute. What on earth did my foot have to do with my fingers and my breathing to play the flute? Also, I was a kid with asthma trying to play the flute, and breathing was actually a pretty darn big focus for me. And tapping my foot meant nothing because, you know, I like to breathe. P.S. Music teachers, maybe to help a child with asthma not pick a wind instrument. You know, just say. So we have to show kids that everybody has these strengths and weaknesses. There's a reason the math teacher doesn't teach English. There's a reason the English teacher doesn't teach math. There are reasons why we have different jobs because we have different skill sets, and that is something to celebrate. If we were all the same, it'd be a pretty darn boring place in this world. So if we can show the kids how much progress they are making, what is their goal, celebrate their wins and accomplishments, and teaching them to celebrate other people's wins and accomplishments. Because what's really easy for you isn't necessarily really easy for somebody else, and what's hard for you is not necessarily hard for somebody else. But we need to show them how to compare themselves to what they have done now compared to what they were doing before. And making the child part of the learning team is a really big part of that. We need the students to see, here's what you are able to do right now, and here's the goal that you need to be able to achieve. There's a student that I was working with. She was really frustrated because the reading was really hard for her. She's like, oh, why do we have to read such a long story? And I was like, kiddo, this is only 2 pages. Kids your age can read things way more than 2 pages. And I know this is so hard for you. And I completely understand that. But if we give up when it's hard, it stays hard forever. And that's what we have to help the kids see, is that when you give up because it's hard right now, it stays hard forever. But if you can work past that challenge, if you can see you are doing something so much harder today than you could do last week, and I will pull up one of the old stories. You're telling me this story right now is really hard for you, but look, you can do it. But look at the story that you were reading 3 months ago. That one looks totally different. And now that one you think is really easy. Because when it got hard, you kept pushing past it. And that's where we need to help the kids see their celebrations and their wins. We need to point out how hard it was, but how much it was worth it that they were able to achieve some success. And lastly, we need to be able to make sure that the kids know what their goals are and how it aligns with their own personal goals. What is something that child wants to achieve? And how is this goal helping them achieve that? Let's say a student wants to do a particular job. Well, kiddo, you're really going to need to know how to read in order to do that job. I once had a kiddo who did not think reading was necessary ever. He's like, I just never need to learn to read. No one needs to read. It doesn't matter. You know, be a police officer or something. I was like, you know, police officers have to write reports, right? You do know they have to like read the legal code, right? And he's like, huh? No matter what goal he kept giving me, he's like, well, I don't need to read. I'm just going to do blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nope, you need to read to do that too. And we want to help them see that they can achieve their goals in life, whatever those goals are, but we have to work toward them. And this is how this current goal is going to get you closer to that main goal that you have for yourself. You want to do X, but first we have to do Y in order to get you there. Because sometimes one thing leads to the next, and you have to hit these little milestones along the way to achieve those big successes in the end. And sometimes those goals don't have to be perfection. That's the other really big thing. I have one kiddo whose goals is to get C's. I'm not kidding, that is their actual goal. Their parents fully support this. If they get B's or an A once in a while, woohoo, we are, you know, throwing a party. But their goal is just to be able to do it because everything is hard for them. And sometimes that's true. There are some kids that everything is hard for them. I've seen some testing for certain kids that's the reason they come to me. They do not have any academic strengths. Every single area is an area of weakness. And so for them, sometimes just being able to get the job done is a huge win. Because sometimes getting that C took 10 times more work than the kid who got an A. And we have to help them see that it is not fair. And that's true. It takes you so much more work and you don't get a better grade for it. It takes you 10 times more time to get your homework done than your classmate and they still got a better grade than you. But your work is valuable and your hard work is paying off. And your version of a win does not have to look like their version of a win. they need to know that they are part of a team that supports them. That is the moral of today's story, is that the child needs to know that they are part of a team that is helping them. So often we go to IEP meetings or we go to parent-teacher conferences, and the child is nowhere in this discussion. We're talking about the child, but we're not including the child. And so anytime that we can loop them in to what the big plan is, I'm not saying they need to sit through an IEP meeting. I find IEP meetings boring and confusing as an adult sometimes. Actually, not confusing to me anymore now that I've done 8 million of them, but I understand from a parent perspective how they are very confusing, very stressful, very overwhelming, and you can barely understand them. How is this kid supposed to get anything out of it? So sometimes it is not really the best setting for the kid. But at the end of the day, once your IEP meeting is over, once all your stress and emotion that came from that meeting is toned back down again to a reasonable level, then loop the child in. Here is your goal. Here's how we're going to get there. Here is the team that is set up to support you. This is not some like mystery closed door meeting where everyone's whispering about the kiddo. This is a planning committee that is helping to support you. Here are the team members. This person's doing this. This person's helping you with that. And here's what our goal is for you by the end of the year. This is the goal you are working toward. And then the kiddo knows that they have help. They know what the plan is and they can be part of the plan. Because a kid working toward a goal is a kid who's going to achieve that goal versus a kid who has a goal that they don't even know exists. They don't care if they ever meet that goal because they don't know about it in the first place. All right, so let's wrap up this week's discussion. First up, making sure that you check out my social media for Parnello Education if you want to catch the interview with Kelly and all the things that we were chatting about for Neurodiversity Week. That was the theme of our chat. I guess I should have included that at the start of the episode. Whatever. I haven't finished my coffee yet, and I may have burned myself from it today. It's been a morning. Then you also need to make sure the child is part of the team. When you have a goal and you can show the child how far they have come, that is the first part of the child being part of the team. Showing them their successes and how far they've come, a lot of times I will have an initial assessment they do on their first day, and I absolutely love giving the exact same assessment when they are done with the reading program so they can see what they could do before and how much more they can achieve because of all their hard work. And then also making them know what the goals are and those milestones in between the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end is the pretty powerful one when you show it, but even just the milestones of showing them, first your goal is this, then this, then this. But we're not going to make this big, huge goal the be-all and end-all. We need to have those milestones and those accomplishments because those small wins give us the motivation to get another small win. And all of those small wins really add up. So earlier I had talked about my own like financial goals that I had for myself. When I wrote them all down, I actually didn't look at them. I wrote them down. I had a goal. I had an overall plan, but I hadn't actually looked at them in forever. But I made one small change a month. And by the end of a year, the amount of accomplishment was amazing. So if we can do the same thing for the kiddos, if you can make one small change a month, do one thing better each month, by the end of the year, that's 12 things you are doing better. That is 12 ways that life got better. And 12 things getting better in a year is actually a lot of things to accomplish. A lot of times for a year on an IEP, for example, we'll only have like 4 or 5 goals. But if you can make the goal to do one thing better each month for an entire year, that's pretty huge. And anytime there is some sort of IEP meeting or a team plan, make sure the student gets looped in at the end of it to know what their role is in this plan and who is on their team to help them. All right, that's it for today. If you would like to make sure that you get the links to any of these videos or any of the new courses that I put out, make sure you join the Dyslexia Devoted newsletter. I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. So your challenge is to find a way to make the child part of the team and show them their support system and their goals so that they can be successful no matter what they do. That's all for today. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to learn even more about dyslexia, check out parnelloeducation.com/courses. See you next time.